Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Bro, club football is so clear. It's not even close.
It's not close. And Euros footy is so clear. You're like the only one that's so passionate about this, Blake. Like, nobody else makes this argument.
No. You have no idea.
You have no idea.
As a Leaf fan, you have no idea.
This isn't hockey.
I don't even know.
This is the real football podcast. We're not talking Leaf on every week.
We here.
Yes, sir. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Real Football Podcast. This is episode 54. 54? 54 that 54. We're bringing you. Another remote podcast here. We're men, three of us here today. Tonight, it's damn near midnight, but this is a usual for the Real Football Podcast. We're used to this by now. I'm here with Blake. Yeah. I'm here with Antoine. We have just finished enjoying the group stage of the Euros. We're almost done the group stage of the Copa America. We're heading into the round of 16, which is all set, and our countries are not looking good, boys. I'll start with you, Blake. How are you doing?
I'm like a 50-50, you know? Actually, no. I'm like a 70-30. Because I've told y'all about my Canada love more than my Poland love. So, Canada coming off a really big win. Their first win. Is it their first major tournament win ever?
Oh, that's so sad.
Well, I guess not. Because, like, the Gold Cup or whatever probably counts.
It depends if you count that. But, yeah.
Yeah. Their first tournament involving teams not from North America. I think it's their first win ever in teams involving not North America.
Maybe.
Big win for them. And Poland got a 1-1 draw against France, which is so exhilarating. So,
wow.
I'm doing good, though. I'm happy that we got that win in Canada's sake. So, I'm doing pretty well for the most part.
I said that our countries aren't doing the best, but there's some bright spots. In Canada, for... Who would expect this? But they're actually a bright spot at the moment. They had their last group stage match coming out Saturday. I think this pod will be out before then. And I think all we need is a draw against Chile to go through. So it's looking good, boys. It's looking good. Mm-hmm. And it looks like we're either going to play Ecuador or Venezuela right now as the first place team.
Bro. It's doable. It's doable.
It's doable, man. But hey, Frenchie, how are you doing, though?
I'm doing good physically. Mentally, when I watch my team play, not so good. I mean, defensively speaking, we're there. We're solid. Best center back in the world, Blake. You know it.
Of course, yeah.
Of course. But man, how do we have one of the best attacks at the Euros, yet can't score a goal in open play?
Unreal.
Unreal.
And then Julian, what about you?
Belgium in the round of 16. Gonna reserve my judgment for now because we're probably gonna talk about it later in the pod.
Yeah, Belgium. But they don't look too good either way. So you're. But yeah, your team's not looking that bad.
No, it's not. Looking
yeah,
bad.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
I was over bad claim. The game yesterday was a little bit suspect, but it's also the occasion. It's the rotation. It's kind of like the semantics around the game that I'm like kind of worried about, the politics and that. But
semantics, I like that.
Yeah, we'll cover all things Euros, guys. In this episode, what we got cooked up for you is we've missed some games. We missed some Euros games. We were supposed to record one late last week. That didn't happen, whatever. But now the group stage is over, and what we're going to do, instead of going over every single game and being here for 3 hours, what we're going to do is what I got in front of me is a tier list. We're going to go through every team, briefly talk about them, give them a grade based on their group stage performance, and then later in the pod, we'll get into some Euro knockout predictions. Give another winner prediction, I guess, kind of edited this
Fair.
Time.
Yeah,
with some more context now that we've taken in some data. In between that, we're going to give some Canada chat, some Copa America chat. But boys, I'm going to start. This is our one contribution of the episode from our producer, Miles. Shout out, producer Miles. The question is, now that we've taken up all this gameplay from teams in Europe, teams in Copa America, and based off everything we knew before these tournaments, I'm going to start with you, Blake. Who are we saying right now, this moment, is the best team in the world?
So, I think this is fairly easy, considering everything that we know. If you look at all of the groups in the Euros, there's only one team that went perfect. And that team is Spain. And Spain is obviously not the best team in the world. So then you look at the Copa America, and you look at the other team that's perfect besides Uruguay.
Yeah.
It's Argentina. And I know Argentina sort of sneaked a win against Canada. So I'm so used to the Arsenal agenda, I just can't. I know Argentina kind of sneaked a win against Canada. They didn't look too convincing. And then they got a late winner against Chile just recently. So they are perfect. But going off of everything we know and going off the pedigree, and they're still coming off that World Cup win, I think it's foolish to not say Argentina is still the best team in the entire world.
I don't know if I'm agreeing with that.
I'm more on the Spain train myself. And Blake's
which is
not
fair.
Like this one.
I get it. They're perfect and they look amazing. But give me a reason.
No, they're perfect. They're playing perfect football, offensively, defensively. Scored, I think, 6 goals in the group stages. Conceded 0. What more do you want from a team? If we're talking about the best team in the world.
Sorry, I meant it was 5. That's why I did this. Like 5.
Was it 5?
Yeah.
I think it was 6, sorry. Brother.
Okay.
It was 3 against Croatia, 2 against Italy, and 1 against.
Damn.
No, 1 against Italy.
Fact checker got
okay,
fact
my
checked.
Bad.
Damn.
I know, it's like I pulled the Antoine on Antoine.
Bro, thinks it's him.
No, but no, Spain is playing outstanding football. I think better than we all expected from them.
Mm-hmm.
We're all pleasantly surprised by the way they're playing. De La Fuente has his almost boys, we can say, because most of the team is constituted of youngsters.
Hey, look at us tonight, boys.
We're cooking, dude. We're actually so cooking, dude.
All right,
so I think Spain. What about you, Julian?
The thing is with Argentina, Blake was saying before we started recording that it's an obvious pick. I don't think it's an obvious pick with Argentina. The thing with Argentina is they have never been, even when they won the World Cup, they've never been the best team in the world based off talent, based off on paper. What made them the best team was how well they gelled together. And that gel hasn't really been gelling these last few games. And if he performs against Canada, and if your performance against Chile, it's looking a little... It's looking a little Shakesville there for Argentina at times. Are they maybe still the best team in the world? Because can we say the other teams around them are gelling? Not exactly. Yeah. But I'd still tip. Spain's a good shout. I'd give Germany a shout. I'd give France a shout for best team in the world. And if I had to pick one at this very moment, I would say Germany.
I think that Germany... I like how they're playing, but they also have home crowd advantage behind them, which is a very big thing.
Yep.
It's a very big factor to take into consideration.
And you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. Like, they totally do, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not a player, and I've never been to a European championship game, so I don't know. But it is 50-50, you know what I mean? Like, if it's a Germany against whoever, it's half Germany, half the other team. So while it is 50-50, and they do have the home field advantage, and a bunch of their players play in Germany, and blah blah blah. Like that's definitely something that shouldn't be discounted. But I feel like, does home field advantage really, really have that much of an impact in the Euros? Maybe it does, and maybe I'm being foolish. But I think it is something to question. Maybe
you can make an argument that the added pressure makes you worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
It could make it worse, but we also saw against Switzerland, they showed a little bit of frailties, a little shaky at times.
Yeah, I think they're still the better
score till late
in that game.
Yeah,
but they were still the better team for sure. I think Switzerland probably played a perfect game, but
Yeah.
Spain played a perfect group stage.
Fair. Fair. I just think from what everything that we've taken in, I think the fact that, Drew, you led off by saying also with everything we know from before, not just what we've seen, taking in what we've seen along with everything else before. And again, is it a cop-out answer? A little bit, but you know, I've been kind of radical these last couple of podcasts, so I'm trying to be a bit more grounded today. So we'll keep with that. We'll keep with the Argentina take.
Well, I guess kind of leading off, what would we grade Germany? Hypothetically.
A.
I'd give them an A as well.
I would give them an A as well, based off their Euros performance, and they would go top of the tier list. What a transition this is. I guess we're just going to go through every team now, unless there's anything else we want to say on this debate now, but I think
let's do it.
I think we're good. So we're gonna go over every team. We're gonna give them a grade based off their Euro performance, and again, boys, this is pound for pound. All right, this is like, you know, Romania aren't going to get a bad grade because their expectations and their talent was on the floor. They did relatively well compared to what their expectations were, so they're going to get high. You know what I mean? This isn't like who do we think will win the tournament the most kind of thing. All right.
Yeah, I got you.
I got a list of teams in front of me, no particular order. We're going to start now after Germany with Croatia. I have a good idea where this will go. A, B, C, D, or F?
See, this one's a bit hard. I feel like they were slightly unlucky.
There's no difficulty for this. How are they?
No, I agree with Blake. I think it's a little bit difficult. I think they played a good game against Spain initially. They started off the tournament pretty well, even though they lost 3-0. But we all kind of knew that the golden era was over. So
in
my eyes, the expectations weren't so high for them.
And also,
I'd give them a C.
I think C is cool, too. I think so, because they got to fucking 96 minutes of football, and then Italy, Zaccarini or whatever, what is his name?
Zaccagni
broke their hearts. So football's a cool game, and that's a big moment that definitely can't be erased from history, but you go back in time and erase that moment, and that's just one moment of the game, and they're going through to the next round. So
yeah, boys, they were through.
But it's not just that. It's not just that. Listen, they've been. Let's start off with the whole journey, okay? First of all, unlucky and losing 3-0 just do not mix. All right, you're either one or the other. You don't lose 3-0 and be unlucky, okay? All right. So they did terribly against Spain. They've been defensively solid over the last few years. They knew they needed that in this group, and they came out and they were 3-0 down at halftime to Spain. Cooked beyond that. Then in the next game against Albania, you know, if you want to go through in third place, at least you're going to need 3 points, non-negotiable, especially after the last performance. What do they do in the last minute of that game? They concede to Albania, they tie 2-2, and now it's looking very grim. And then in the next game after that, they are beating Italy, and again in the last minute they let it slip. So that is 4 points right there that they let slip in the dying moments of two games in a row. Beyond that, they looked a little more stale. They looked worse than they have over the years. Like, I don't see anywhere to put Croatia. I don't see any positives for them. And personally, that's why I would say F.
So in this group of death, you had expectations for them to get out of the group?
You're saying F?
Yeah.
Because we said based on their expectations, they were in the hardest group of the Euros.
Yeah, I don't even think we predicted them to come out of this group.
How are their expectations to come out of this group warranting an F?
Yeah,
it's the Albania game that really lets it go.
Albania played a solid tournament, brother. Give respect to Albania. I'm sorry, brother.
Like, they did cool, but let's not pretend that Albania is anything special, right? Like,
they're not.
We can meet in the middle and go D, but F is crazy.
I'm down to go D.
Luka Modric penalty that was also missed. Like, I feel like there was a bunch of outliers that you can count to usually happen in the way of Croatia that just didn't happen this tournament. And maybe they've been lucky the last couple of tournaments, but they made their own luck because they've played super well, and they've gelled like we talked about earlier, and I don't know, I guess their luck ran out, and you know, they're getting older, and we kind of did predict that their golden era was coming to an end in this tournament. But
so D?
Yeah,
I'll put him D.
Thank you, Julie.
All right, fine. Next up is Switzerland.
I like Yummy,
came
bro.
Third, they came second.
I like this team, you know.
I Yummy, like this team a bro. Lot. And I would give them a good team. Chance against Italy.
I would give them a very good chance against Italy. I think we wrote them off early in the group stage. Me and Julian, even I think.
Yeah, Blake, you and Julian did.
Blake, were you? Don't lie. Were you on the hungry second train too? Don't lie.
No, I think I was.
I think we should.
We're gonna go back and listen to last pod.
Yeah, we should. We should go back and listen. But we wrote them off too quick. Way too quick. We wrote them off. This is a team that reached the quarterfinals 4 years ago. They're not shy of this tournament. They know how to play in this tournament. Pretty much have the same core.
Yep.
A bunch of young players too that are up and coming.
Yeah, I think we underestimated that.
We definitely did underestimate them. Yeah. And if we're talking expectations, I think B, maybe even A for them.
I'd say a solid B for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm cool with B. I'm cool with B.
All right. Yeah. Because up until the 92nd
minute of that game, they were
they were seconds away from beating Germany, man. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, from topsing it, dude.
I know. Yeah, really unfortunate that they have to play Italy, but still, very good tournament from Switzerland.
I mean, Italy looked...
And I'd give them a good chance. I would give them a good chance, yeah, honestly.
We'll get there.
All right. Czech Republic, they lost against Portugal in the last minute. They drew against Georgia and then... No. Yeah, they drew against Georgia.
And lost against Turkey.
And then lost against Turkey.
In an absolute brawl, by the way.
Yeah, that what was it, like 20 cards or some shit?
20 cards, two reds. Insane.
I didn't watch it, but...
This one was unfortunate, too, because the... Well, I talked to you about the Portugal game, Ju. It just felt like they did so well at doing what they planned, right? Like, the system was set. They knew exactly what they wanted to do against Portugal, and...
They did really well in that game.
They did. And then against the Georgia game, even... Getting a draw, like Georgia didn't play their best, and they finally came alive at the end of the tournament, I feel like. But I don't know. The Portugal game gave you a lot to hope for with this team, just from the resilience that they showed, and it kind of never picked up from that, in my opinion.
Yeah. Not that Portugal were at their best in that game, but I think it was more the product of the Czech holding it down so well in that first game rather than us being bad. And then... But then the draw against Georgia, they needed more than that. And then losing to Turkey, I mean, like, yeah, you just can't do that in it. Not many positives from Czech Republic. It's not the quarterfinal run of last time.
But again, we didn't really expect them to do
that. Not that the expectations were there. Like,
I feel like you got to go D just in the fact that Georgia was so low ranked.
That's fair.
Which... Again, we kind of all said that they probably shouldn't be. Like, we looked at that team. We're like, they have got some good little players, especially Antoine. Antoine was on that vibe. So, I go D.
Yeah, D's fine.
Fair enough. Next up, another personal favorite of mine, we got Austria.
Hey. Now, if you guys are putting anything lower than A for these guys.
Yep. It's going right up there.
It's going right up there.
What do you think,
The true Blake? Dark horses of this tournament, Julian?
They can make a finals run, eh?
Oh, cheeky finals run for Austria, Blake. What are you hating about that statement? Look at the side of the bracket. There's nothing to hate about this,
bro. It's just Rangnick, isn't it?
They're playing so well, bro, and they have players injured too.
I know, bro. So funny. The Poland Austria game came on, and I was, both sides have injured players, and then Lewandowski came on, and then it was like, both sides don't have injured players anymore. It's just Austria playing their hearts out. Yeah, they're an A. They look good. I like their goalie, this Pence guy.
Yeah.
He's pretty solid. Like, from what I've watched of him, like, he seems pretty sound. He claims the ball really, really confidently. He's decent with his feet. I fuck with it.
Christoph Baumgartner, Julian.
Oh, man. My breakout player. One of mine. Yeah. No, they're looking fantastic. I mean, they play against Turkey, which... I mean, let's not underestimate Turkey. That could be a really hard game for them. If they get through that, they're probably going to play Netherlands. After that, they're probably going to play Italy or England. So it's possible, boys. It's possible that we could be seeing them in Berlin come July 14th.
That would be insane.
That would be mental. Mental. Okay, so A for Austria. Let's move to Belgium. What do we think of Belgium? They're weird.
Belgium is weird. A little bit of a similar situation to France. not really showing anything attacking wise. Only scored 2 goals in the group, in a group which they should easily have claimed 9 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
poor Lukaku. Any debate.
I know, poor Lukaku, 3 disallowed goals.
He's so funny. Crazy. Oh my god.
I know. I mean, they qualified. I guess we expected them to win the group, but did we not also sort of see something like this happening as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys see the booing that happened after the third game?
Yeah. And the, so
no, I didn't. Explain.
So for context, after the Belgium-Ukraine game, that was 0-0, even though Belgium qualified, the Belgian fans were booing the players like crazy. My friend was at the game. He's Belgian. And he was saying that it was unbearable. Like, the sound was insane.
Damn.
So,
I mean, they're probably fed up.
Belgium is not looking too good.
What was it? What was their... They got the third place in...
They got second. Second place in Group E.
Right. No, in the... When did... They got third with that World Cup year, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
2018, yeah, they were third. They lost to France.
So, it's just never been the same since then, really. Like, that was their one kind of glimpse at a major trophy, and... It's been rough for the Belgian fans since then. But
still,
so.
On paper, like they have a decent team. Maybe the defense is a little old.
That defense is crazy.
But you expect Kevin De Bruyne, Lukaku, Doku, Trossard, even Loïs Openda, who had a good season this season. Yeah. Tielemans, Onana, like these guys are good. These guys are prem proven players that perform week in week out on the biggest stages. So for there to be a little asterisk in terms of scoring goals for this team, it's kind of incomprehensible.
And I genuinely think... Yeah.
I haven't gone to France yet.
I really think it is such an ego thing. I think that's where it stems from, like how the team just doesn't ever seem to do it on the big stage. I think it has to be an ego thing, because what other explanation can you stem from it? Like, we know there's egos in this Belgian squad. We know it's been a problem in the past. I feel like it has to still be lingering, or else can you guys offer up another explanation why they just continuously fail to do anything positive in these tournaments?
No, I think it's spot on. There's like that little barrier right where they could reach their heights of their potential. Something's stopping them.
It's like if we, why are we compared to us? If we're coming on at 12 a.m. every week or so to go through this, but we don't all love each other, like, we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't, or the pods wouldn't be as good, or they wouldn't be as passionate, blah, blah, blah. Like, we could do it still, but it wouldn't be the same. It would not be the same.
It
so,
would not be the same whatsoever. Yeah.
Belgium, C, I guess.
Yeah.
C is fine. They still qualified. Expectations weren't too high.
Mm-hmm.
Excited to see what they do in the round of 16, but...
Yep.
Kind of pessimistic for them.
Next up is Portugal. What do we think of Portugal, guys?
Honestly,
they're kind of weird too, low key. First. They are weird.
No, I think the first game, I don't know why Roberto Martinez plays a 5-back.
I got a bone to pick with this guy, man. Oh, my
God. He did the same thing with Belgium, so... He loves his 3-back formations. But no, first game, shout out Conceição, or what's it? Yeah, Conceição.
Yeah.
Cold little baller. I love him.
Yeah.
but yeah, conceded early against Slovakia. Or Slovenia? Slovakia.
Slovenia. Czech Republic.
Czech Republic. Wow. Tired boys. But yeah, conceded early, didn't score until late. Still got the win. Second game, obliterated Turkey. Third game, lost to Georgia, but it was the B team.
Yeah.
Probably still should win, even with their B team. But I can see how there was like a lack of concentration, a little bit of complacency within the team. I still put them, might be a little controversial, at A. I think they have so much talent, they could produce so many good things going forward. Their defense is solid. Their keepers are very good. All around, I like this Portuguese side. I really do.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm as high on them as Antoine is. I think if game one for them went a little bit better and Martinez set up a little more normally and didn't try to... I don't fucking know. Again, that was so strange. if that whole situation went a little more positive for the Portuguese, then I might have been agreeing with Antoine with the A. But I think it's still a B. He's right. Like, that Turkey game was not super close. Like, they kind of dominated from start to finish. It never really felt like Turkey had a real stronghold in that game.
And you guys, a decent little team.
Exactly. And you guys showed your talents against a decent little team. And obviously changes were made to make that happen. So I got to go B. And even in the Georgia game, like, you dominated that too. It was, they just nicked two goals.
So I got two major gripes with Roberto Martinez. And, like, I think the performances haven't been terrible at all. Like, we're not on, like, England levels here. Definitely not. Not even France levels. But the thing with the setup, in two of the three games we played a five back, this guy, even heading into, like, qualifying and, like, all that stuff, he has not figured out the kind of setup that he wants to do. He switches between a 4-3-3 and, like, a kind of five back, like a 3-4-3 kind of thing. So frustrating, man, because we start with a five back against the Czech Republic. Like, are you kidding me? We're playing João Cancelo as a center back. Like, what are we doing here, Roberto?
Spain have like came a... out against Czechia. Why is Palinha not playing? Why is Cancelo? Why is Dalo at center back? What's like? I was genuinely confused.
I had no idea what was going on there. We tried like the playmaker thing at center back. Try to loft balls out into space, but there was no space, Czechia, obviously, because they're parking the bus. Like, I don't know what we're doing here. Now, thankfully, I think Roberto Martinez learned his lesson, and he picked a way better, more cohesive lineup against Turkey, and I hope he goes with something like that in the round of 16. I swear to God if he doesn't. But even in the Turkey game, like, there are asterisks there. Like we dominated most of the game, not that Turkey didn't have chances. Also, Turkey didn't play Arda Güler in that game. They didn't play Yildiz in that game, and we got gifted a goal through a defender keeper mistake, and we just didn't look fantastic there. It wasn't the greatest game. The second thing with this Portugal team that I'm getting a little bit worried about is the Ronaldo thing. The Ronaldo thing is getting a little bit a little bit desperate at this point. So
he's playing the first not two games, terrible though.
What's that?
He's not playing terrible.
Not that he's not playing terrible at all. Made headlines for passing for once, which I would never expect. But
yeah, it was a fucking cut across.
It started concerning me. It started concerning me when he started against Georgia. Why are we starting the 39-year-old against Georgia when we have a great striker there on the bench? We've already made 8 other changes, and this is a meaningless game for us. It's not best for him as an individual. It's not best for him as a team. We want to keep him fresh. We know that, you know, there's not as much there in the gas tank as there should be. So we should try to preserve that as much as we can. Instead, he ran out there for 85 minutes, didn't really do much. And then he was just left frustrated after the game. He's just trying to farm goals. And he's trying to, like, break that record. And we're trying to just force that a little bit. And forcing that, I feel it could be a little bit of a downfall for us. So just very frustrating. And now if he's worse against Slovenia into the knockout stages, and if he doesn't look as fresh, it's because we played him because he insisted on playing in the meaningless game against Georgia. Very frustrating. And then with the
Georgia game, say,
going back to the you five don't back, think... why are we going back to the five back? It's just, man.
Like you said, like, you don't think that Ronaldo chose to play? Like, he definitely had a say in that. It wasn't just...
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. I think Martinez didn't want him to play. But again, it's politics, man. It's the politics thing with Ronaldo.
That's the bad thing. That's the bad thing. The fact that the manager doesn't have the final say, and if Ronaldo wants to play, he'll tell the manager I'm playing, and he can't do anything about it. That's the problem.
That is a problem, man. And that's just with any player. I don't care if that player is fucking Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, that just, that can't run, man.
That's why Bronny got drafted to the Lakers. What can I say?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Did he actually?
Yeah.
Second round?
Yeah.
Yeah, 55th pick.
This shit just happens in this world. Nepotism and politics and hierarchies. They happen.
Insane.
So, yeah. I don't know. You can
have, so what's our grade? What's the grade we're giving?
Yeah, you can have a final stage, you.
I'll go B for Portugal.
B. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah,
there's still positives there. I mean, like, if we played decent against Georgia, I'd be much more optimistic. But it's just the five back.
There's still things to be.
like,
honestly, I still think there's things to be happy about.
And you kind of like, you didn't not play terrible against Georgia. Like, from the bits I saw, like, you didn't, it wasn't,
I don't know, man.
It wasn't awful.
I can't really think of any clear cut chances we got, you know?
Do you think that was a penalty, Julian, by the way?
Oh, no, I don't think it was a penalty.
Yeah, I don't know about that call.
It's just one of those that, like, my God, he tickled the top of his foot. Like, what are we doing here, boys?
And honestly, the Upamecano one, I can see how it was given as a penalty, but
that's the thing. Like, you could see, like, okay, they're gonna call that as a penalty because that's a stupid rule it is. But it's a stupid fucking rule. What are we doing there?
Yeah, that's fair. One time, I actually agree with Julian's in terms of referee decisions. Wow,
that's why everybody dives, bro, because it's fucking efficient. Like, bro, that Georgian player did not have to go down there. He could have kept running with the ball. He was past the defender. But I digress. I'm happy for Georgia, man.
I am too.
So B for Portugal. Let's go to Scotland now. Will this be our first
Scotland.
F?
Yeah. I mean, three shots on target, I think, in the whole tournament. One goal scored.
I mean, there were cameras of when they were leaving. About
getting robbed against Hungary.
I saw some, bro. Come on.
Crazy penalty shout, but no.
We can F them. I was wrong about my Scottish. I mean, was I ever really right about them? I just wanted them to win because of the song.
Yeah.
The Tartan Army disappointed, Blake.
The Tartan Army really goddamn disappointed. So, throw them an F. Not really much to say. I mean, you look at their team, though. Their team really isn't good. It really wasn't. Suck. There was, it was like, it was what it always was. Left side FC, to be honest.
Yeah.
Left side FC and Scotty McSauce and take your pick. Yeah, we can throw him an F. There was a time though. There was a time like in that Swiss game. I don't know. I had hope for a second there.
Yeah, but Blake believed, but killed it pretty quick.
I really did. I was hyped. You guys, I said in the group chat, I was hyped as fuck.
The next team is Slovakia. Weird team, Slovakia. They're playing England in the round of 16. A big, big win over Belgium, we just mentioned. They can be pretty proud of what they did.
I really like the football they're playing. Calzone from Napoli is cooking.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
He is cooking.
So they beat Belgium, and then they lost to Ukraine? Lose to Ukraine?
Yep.
And then they drew against Romania. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't have much to say about Slovakia. I'm going to keep it honest. I mean, big, big win over Belgium. But they were pretty lucky in that game, if we're being real here.
Yeah,
big up to them. I would still give them a B because this is massive for them.
It's got to be
very massive for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a really fun back line.
What are we grading their chances of beating England?
Nah. I mean, maybe it just won't happen.
It just won't happen.
And if it will, then, like, that's just embarrassing. Like, it's not even like, ooh, you know what, the right be shout. They're... If anyone's betting on Slovakia to win the game, quit betting, you know? And maybe I'm jinxing them, but let's just call a spade a spade.
Blake, I can smell in Iceland. I can also
see a world where England wins like 4-0 and just reinstate their favorite and then all
of a sudden England explodes with its coming home. Like, because Southgate's the best manager in the world.
And you know what it is too? Like, score effects in soccer are so, so, so important. Like, they really open up a game. An early goal, it completely changes the whole thing of the game. And then that's what England is missing. They get one early goal, they score a long shot from Jude or Harry Kane, or someone cuts in and scores a banger. Then everything that we've said about them is completely changed, because then, especially in a knockout game, then Slovakia has to open up, they have to go more, and then Foden and Saka have more joy on the wings. Gordon comes on in the 60th minute and has more joy on the wings. They just need an early goal. As long as they get an early goal within like the 30-minute mark, bro, it's cooked. They're good.
What you said about the game opening up after a goal is exactly how the knockout stages will play into England's hand. Mm-hmm. Because in the group stages, the teams didn't really need to open up, even if they conceded a goal, because it's England they're playing against. They're going to have easier teams in the group, unless they're really... like they, unless they really need a win, unless it's the final game and they absolutely need a win to go through, they're not going to open up because goal difference, first of all.
Yeah.
If mm-hmm. they want to even make it through, they need their goal difference. But yeah, in the knockout stages, you need to win. It's do or die. It's you're not going through if you're not scoring goals. So I think this knockout stages could play into England's hand very, very well.
Well, that leads us off to England because they're the next team. I'm looking at their potential path to the final now, and God, these guys are so freaking lucky, man. I swear every single time they end up on the side of the table or the side of like the knockout tree that just looks Julian, so much better.
If Antoine said lucky, sure. Portugal had the luckiest run in a Euros ever. And you want to talk to me about a team getting lucky with their draw? Like, we're not doing that, Jew. Come on. Like,
honestly, they still finished first of their group. They deserve a lucky side of the draw because they finished first of the group. That's but usually how it goes.
Bro, indeed. Even that, though, like, 5 points to win the fucking group is mental.
They did get lucky. That's fair to say.
Yeah.
But the first team in the group usually plays a weaker team in the round of 16.
Valid.
I know, but I'm just looking on you by chance just happen to not be on the side of literally the five other favorites of this tournament. Like, yeah. That's crazy lucky.
Yeah. England to the final, boys. I can't lie.
It's still looking on, and like I'm giving them a C.
Like, all they need is one game for it to really click, and they're looking
that's
good.
What I'm but saying, like, bro.
They beat Ukraine 4-0 in the quarterfinals.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Last edition, and everyone was hot on them. It's a momentum thing, boys. It's a momentum thing.
Let's talk about the group stage. So first it was the game against Serbia, where the Jude Trent scored. At midfield experiment did not work. They scored with Jude, and then they sat back. And they looked, they kind of got dominated for the rest of the game. And then the Denmark game was the same exact thing, except Denmark scored a screamer to tie it up. And then from there, England looked shocking. And then against Slovenia, they tried. They looked a little better in the second half, but still, they couldn't unlock them.
Southgate tried a couple things as well. Cole Palmer, Maynou.
Yep,
in the midfield starting.
Southgate is just, I feel like there's nothing going on up in that head of his, but like he's just going to stumble upon the best setup. The fact that he came out after the second game and said, we're missing a Calvin Phillips replacement is insane. Diabolical.
Guys, top six nation manager brings this team to a championship, and can't deny that.
Guys, he said they don't have a Calvin Phillips replacement. It's clearly a social experiment. No, it's a social experiment. Like, there's no other way to fucking justify it. He's not real. Like, he's an alien. He's programmed from, like, maybe Bojo, our man Bojo, just fucking programmed a manager for England to just make everyone
who
laugh. Maybe
Bojo?
That's what it was.
Who's huh? Bojo?
Who's Bojo? Who's Bojo?
Boris Johnson, guys. Come on.
Oh.
Y'all don't fuck with Bojo.
Bojo.
No, yeah. Are you
boys
like
with him? I'm not on those terms with Boris. All right.
Miles would have got my Bojo. He would have got my.
Oh man, we're really missing him here.
Nah, he's a social experiment. He's a social experiment, and England's at a C, maybe a D. This is why we should do minuses, because England would be at a C minus, but they're not really at a D because they won the group.
I think they're D, bro.
No, they're at a C.
Okay, yeah, they did win the group in it.
But you see how minuses would have been cuter?
Why couldn't the teams in their group just step up a little bit and then just be
fucking hot? Why are you such an England hater? Like, I kind of like England.
No.
You want to know why?
You guys like England because of who? Because of Saka?
Why do you need that?
And that's it?
You want to know why? You guys don't like England because you guys are direct rivals with other European nations that are your favorite. Like, Poland's not a rival of anyone. You know what I mean? So
yeah, that's fair. I also have a vendetta against Jude Bellingham winning the Ballon d'Or. I can't see that happening.
If they win the Euros, it's happening, bro. It's
It is. They win the Euros, absolutely, but they're not going to win the Euros anymore, so you're fine. It'll be Vinny.
Yeah. Tony Cruz.
Stop. Tony Cruz would be crazy.
Why not?
Bro, that'd be the biggest Luka Modric shit I've ever seen in my life.
Why not?
No,
won
bro.
The Champions League. If he could win the Euros.
Yeah. And what else? Like,
because Vinny's not winning the Copa, I'll tell you that for free.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah, England. I think they're going to start Kobe Mainoo in the next game. I think Cole Palmer looked really good. They could stumble.
I like starting the young talents. Across, giving them a chance to prove themselves. It worked for
not
France.
Not over Saka, though. Mainoo needs to come in. You know.
Did you see what Ian Wright said?
No, what did he say?
Oh, interesting. So I'm just gonna repeat what he said, and you can't say this is Arsenal bias or anything, or Arsenal agenda, because Ian Wright said this.
I feel like I might have seen it, but just tell me.
He suggested Saka starts either a left wing or a left back.
Oh, I did see that. I did
we
see
make
that.
Room, and they make room for Palmer on the right.
Yeah, I did see that. That's crazy.
I could actually see that working.
That'd be so head-ass, though. Like, that would be crazy.
It's not bad. Because
Cole Palmer looked decent when he came on.
So, you know honestly. What you do? You know what you do is you got to bring... You play Jude and Deck in the midfield. You play Foden.
By the way, Deck might be one of the most fraud midfielders in this competition so far.
Yeah, he's not looking great.
But carry on, Blake.
Okay, he hasn't been amazing. He hasn't been amazing, but no one in the England team has, and he's been fine. He hasn't fucked up. Like, what do you want him to do? Like, dribble through a million people and make a pass that sends in a goal? Like,
I mean, that's what Conte is doing.
Oh, oh my god. Anyway, you run Jude, Deck, you go 10 with Foden, and then you go Gordon and Saka. That's what you do.
Gordon, eh?
Yeah, bro. You go Gordon.
You go Gordon.
You go Saka left back, and then you can play. If you go Saka left back, then you can go Foden, Jude, Deck, Gordon, Palmer.
I think you have one too many players there, no? Where's the Foden in the midfield?
Foden at 10.
Foden at 10.
Who's next to Rice?
Jude.
Bellingham. Oh, so Jude drops back.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That could work. Is Why Saka not? Still adept at left back though?
Like no, absolutely not.
He won't be. I mean, Trippi is not impressing anybody out there, is he?
I know. I mean, at least I don't know.
I think they really need Luke Shaw back, man. Even if he's kind of
untested. Yeah, fuck, they do. God damn.
Like, they need him back.
Who would have thought saying that would have been a good
thing. Luke Shaw is sneaky good, man. I mean, like, selfishly, I hope he doesn't come back because I hope he's fit for United. But like, yeah, they actually.
Oh, what?
Buddy, I don't care. I don't care about you.
Why would you?
No, no. You know who they need?
Why would you say this?
No, you know who they need? They need Ben White. That's who they need. They need Ben White.
You know where I thought you were going with that, Blake?
What?
I thought you were going, oh, well, look at that. Look who wants club football back. Look who wants
the No. If he said that about a Portugal player, maybe. But no, he doesn't care about England. So there's no point.
Okay. Let's get through the rest of these teams. We're not even halfway through. We need to start going faster.
Yeah, okay, we'll go.
We got Hungary next.
Hungary, D. Guys, we tipped them a second of that group.
Yeah. We tipped them the dark horses.
Okay.
Sucks cool. About, was it Varga that collapsed?
Yeah. Prayers up, but he seems to be conscious and good. So
He seems to be good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Scary fall, though.
Ironically, we got Denmark up next.
Julian.
I'm not kidding. They're literally next right after. This is crazy, guys. Next bro, up is crazy. Is
you're actually Dylan the
never
worst.
Never fails to deliver,
bro. You're actually terrible, bro. Denmark.
I'm
like
literally.
D.
I got the list in front of me, and it went Hungary, and then it went Denmark. It's like they knew,
bro.
It's
Denmark.
Like they knew.
Denmark get a D, bro.
A D?
I mean, they have the Portugal route to the thing, except they didn't come third. Okay, maybe a C.
They just drew all their games. Is that it?
They drew all their games. No one really stood out. Did anyone stand out to you? Hoyland looked bad.
No, yeah.
I can never predict.
I predicted he would look bad, and yeah, And then, yeah, that Humaland.
Let's do C, because D is
sure.
Kinda,
C.
Yeah. D is but Scotland level.
Hoyland looks terrible, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, 70 mil.
Anyways. Italy up next.
Forget the name.
Italy or C, too.
Italy, R, C, in my opinion, as well.
Yeah. Bro, Antoine, I'll kiss you. Stop.
Like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
There's C like, because there's still Italy. You know what I mean?
I think, I think if we did plus minuses, they'd be a B minus.
I can get on board with that, but you said no plus or minuses.
I'm saying hypothetically, B minus is still a B.
See how much fun it is when you add minuses and pluses.
No. We can't do that.
No, I think in two of the three games, they looked.
Italy are always known to be this team that are mentality monsters. No matter what goes through, no matter what happens in the game, they still prevail.
Bro, they sealed
it. They did go through, but they're not playing very good football.
And that Spain game was fucking disgraceful.
Spain might be the best team in the world right now, man. Like,
I don't know. They could be. That's fair to say, but the Croatia game wasn't much better. They conceded in the first minute to Albania.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not on the Italian train.
Spaghetti Mafia is like...
That's fair.
Spaghetti Mafia is getting benched.
They got caught by the... What are we doing, Spalletti?
Calafiori, what do we think of him?
Oh my god.
Yeah, he's...
Don't get me started on him.
He's
and it's not just because of the long hair, too.
He's a cracking little player, dude.
He's a cracking player.
He's a cracking player.
Okay, nice, Georgia's next.
Georgia are getting an A.
Yeah, I gotta be an A. Gotta be an A.
Yeah, I'll give him an A. Yeah.
My boy Mikotadze, you know...
My boy Mamardashvili.
He's good.
Is he the best goalie at the Euros right now?
So far, I'd say yeah, because they've conceded probably the most amount of shots, one of the most amount of shots. So, yeah, that's what I was saying in terms of post-shot expected goals in La Liga. Mamardashvili was the number one keeper.
And the only reason
I don't understand that again.
I still don't understand it, but it's a thing. I love it.
Dude. Yeah, they look great against Portugal. They look really good. They're so fluid. They're so direct, and they mesh really well.
Yes, they're so direct. It's so fun. They're so direct. And the best part about all of this is, for the first two games of their fucking tournament, their best player wasn't even playing well.
Yeah.
Like it took.
Alvaro looks so good against Portugal, man.
Holy. Yeah, exactly. So it took. That's what I'm saying. Like he finally broke out. So I feel like maybe they can. Who do they play?
Spain.
They're playing Spain. Yeah, we're cooked.
Oh yeah. Anyway, so they had fun.
Hey, good little run.
Yeah,
they're on a 16 in their first ever. Hey,
bro,
international
they were like the
tournament.
Lowest. What is it? I think they're the lowest ranked team to ever qualify or some shit.
I don't know what it was, but
this is their first ever international tournament, round of 16.
Bro,
that's very respectable.
This is their World Cup, bro. They've done this.
They gave us the most entertaining game of the Euros, and it'll probably, unless something crazy happens, it'll be like that. It'll be the most entertaining game of the Euros.
I mean, like
Georgia, what a game!
Is there something to say that Portugal rested their best players? Kind of wasn't a penalty. It's kind of two individual mistakes that they
got
their goals from.
You still didn't score, so would have won.
I was actually saying, you know what?
Defensive resilience.
When the Georgia game started, literally right as Vara was, before Vara broke through, I was literally in the middle of saying, I think this team that we're playing here, our second team, is better than the 2016 team that won the Euros. It might actually fucking
be. That team was goddamn
terrible. And then Vara scored.
That team fucking sucked. That team was fucking horrible.
Don't disrespect Juan Moutinho like that, all right? It's a good little player.
The worst team to have ever
won the Euros. Juan Mario, Renato Sanchez, all right? Rafael Guerrero. There's some players on that team. Don't disrespect.
Bro, you're right. They were players.
Pepe, Luis Fonte. Was that his name, Luis Fonte?
Oh, my God. Yeah, next.
Luis Fonte, Rui Patricio. Oh, my God. Yeah, I take that back. Georgia A? Said, actually. Next up is Serbia.
Serbia are F.
Yeah, F. I don't really want to talk about them. They're just...
For the talent they have on paper...
Yeah,
man. And what did I say? I went in on Serbia, man. I told you, don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
But however, Julian, they didn't leak goals for fun, like you mentioned.
That is true. Yeah, they actually did it.
Yeah, they just could not score for shit.
Yeah.
Anyways. And with Vlahovic and Mitrovic as your strikers, if you can't score, we'll get to France.
Oh, but,
yeah, cooked.
Next is Spain.
A plus.
Kind of already talked about them.
Yeah, I'm going to put them top of A, bro. They're cooking. The only team with the Euros to get maximum points so far.
W.
And they're playing beautiful football, boys.
Yeah. Not much more to say. We kind of chatted about it already. I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Turkey, what do we give them?
Hmm. They made it through.
Turkey's a...
They did indeed make it through, yes. So they played...
Between C and D.
No, honestly, the game against Portugal was bad for them, but they didn't play their best players in that game. The games where they did play their best players, they're 2 of 2. Arda Güler looks fantastic. I think Yildiz is a good little player. When things are clicking, when they have their best players on the field, they've been looking good, Turkey.
You want to know what pisses me off about Portugal, though?
Mm.
Or, sorry, about Turkey? Is they have another fucking striker named Yilmaz. Like, what are we doing?
And he's good.
Yeah, like it's not Barak anymore. Like, it's some other guy. I don't know what his name is.
Mm-hmm. He's good. He's good.
But it's annoying. Like, why? Why? Like, can we switch up a name or two? Like,
the last names work, man. I mean,
it's frustrating, dude. Anyway, no, C or D is like
I say they're pushing a B, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. I was like, C or D is a crazy thing to say, Antoine. Okay, I go B.
I don't think they get past Austria, though. I think Austria has too much for them.
Honestly, I can see
if they have that 12th man, though.
They do have that 12th man, but apparently 12th man isn't really that important.
I might actually be most excited for this game, boys. Like, this is going to be
It'll be good.
Really good game.
And, like,
so excited.
And what I talked about this earlier, like the last episode, I talked about the star power and the ability to create your own shot and have a spark plug. Like, Turkey got a goddamn bunch of those. They have so many of those players that can just pop off for no reason. Mm-hmm. And, like, again, that changes the game. That's the score effects. That's how these stories get created. And I think that might have to be how Turkey edges a win in that. But I don't know.
Valid.
B.
Okay. Ukraine.
F. Oh, I think it's a poem. I was going to say Poland.
Ukraine. What do we say for Ukraine?
My boys.
So, okay, this is the stat that I wanted to tell you guys before the show. So, of the 16 teams that are left in the Euros, 8 of them finished on 4 points or lower and therefore did as well or worse than Ukraine.
It's sad, but guys, they did not have a good tournament. Like,
they didn't. It was just the first game that screwed them over. That's it.
It was. It was.
And we watched it live. Like, losing 3-0 to Romania. Like, you just can't do that.
It's almost like their star-studded attack just couldn't carry them through. And I wonder why. It's almost
like that happened.
And I wonder why.
Guys, they were one shot away. I don't know if you guys watched the Belgium-Ukraine game, but at the end of the game, Georgi Sudakov goes on an insane run. Beats like 3 defenders. He's one-on-one against the goalkeeper, 91st minute. Straight in the goalie's hands.
And they almost scored an Olympico, too.
And they did almost score an Olympico. Oh,
my God.
It's details, but they didn't deliver. Disappointed me, disappointed all of us Ukraine hype boys.
Yeah.
But
I was,
at the end of the day, it's a D in it.
I was like really sad for them. Like, I almost couldn't enjoy the Portugal game because I was sad for Ukraine, man. I'd like built a connection with I'd done so much investing in these guys that I felt personally disappointed.
I was about to get my Ukraine citizenship. Like,
man, is that possible?
I don't know if you'd want that, to be honest.
yeah, fair enough.
Prisoner of war citizenship.
Fuck it, I'm drafted. Anyways. Yeah, D?
Yeah. It's a D for Ukraine. Really sucks to be them. All right, 6 teams left versus Albania. Let's make this one quick. 4th in a tough group. They showed heart.
C.
I don't mind that shout.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. I thought
I was going to create controversy with that, but
I'd probably go D. But if you want to go C, that's okay.
Yeah, let's go C. All right, the polls are next. What?
It's either an F or a D. I don't care. You all pick.
I'll say D just because of the last game.
Look, no, bro. We're not counting the last game. That game meant nothing. You should if you want to, you should be saying I'll go D because they played well against Netherlands. That's the only reason why you should be saying I'll go D. But against the
they played well against the Netherlands for 15 minutes.
What's that?
They played well against the Netherlands for what? 15 minutes? 30 minutes?
No, yeah. Like they had I guess.
Weren't you hungover watching that game? Do you even remember?
I actually surprisingly do more than I thought I would, but you're probably right. I probably miss a bunch of stuff if I'm honest. So. But I mean, the Austria game was just terrible. Like there was that. You want to talk about a moment where you needed to do something and you need someone to step up and you need to like perform, because if you don't get anything from that game, you're done. There's no way you can go through. And I guess we scored the equalizer pretty early after they scored, which was a good sign, but. Man, it's just more of the same with this team. And I know they were injured, and I know Lewandowski didn't even play the whole time, but I don't know. F.
Expect disappointment, D. And you'll never be disappointed. All right. If we had an E tier, I think that would be Poland. But fair play. It's an F for them. Another tournament.
Fair enough.
Low-key wasted. All right.
And sorry, one last thing. Like Lewandowski's probably retiring from international football, so have fun being shit.
It's going to look even worse.
Have fun being shit for the next fucking 20 years. Anyway.
Hey, this could be your last Euros for a while.
It was fun while it lasted, I guess.
I don't know.
This guy's not capable.
Lewa will always have a place in my heart, man. But
love your optimism, Blake.
Yeah.
You know me. King of that.
Is this how you felt about Arsenal for years before you met us?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, jeez, you would have been.
Why do you think I never thought we were going to win the title 2 years ago? Never once did I say we were.
I know, man. I know. All right, four left. Netherlands.
The Dutch are weird.
The Dutch are very weird.
It's like they have a team that could go to the. I'd say quarterfinals, maybe semifinals. Well, not looking at their run, they can definitely reach the semifinals. But on paper, they have a decent team. I don't think their football translates to the talent that they have on the paper, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
They're lacking that final, that striker. Like, Memphis doesn't cut it, let's be honest.
Yeah, they're best strikers, by course. Like...
Yeah,
that's really sad.
I mean, Gakpo's been cooking for them. Gakpo's playing really good, having a very good
Mullen scored a nice goal, yeah. But wrong net.
Wrong net, yeah. Pretty much the theme of this Euros altogether.
Yeah.
But no, Netherlands is very weird. I would put them third in the group, didn't play bad against France. Nah, it's a C. It's a C.
Yeah. Because
you concede early to Poland. You let Poland play their game a little bit. I mean, it's Poland, boys. Like,
and then they lost to Austria, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They lost to Austria.
Yeah.
Good game.
Run a C. Yeah,
good little game, by the way.
Run a C.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a C. Should have beat France, though. Robbed.
What? I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, they should have beat France.
Should have beat France?
Should have beat France.
That game. Oh,
Julian.
That game was... Oh my
God. What a waste of our
what
time.
What a fucking waste of time.
I hate France.
Julian needs to search up the FA rules, the offside rules. But that should be for another time. We should dedicate an episode.
Blood was so crazily offside. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
So blatantly and obviously offside. Anyways, yeah. Let's move on to the next team, Julian.
I digress. Romania.
A.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, they have the lowest, how do I say this? The lowest out of all their players' transfer value, their squad has the lowest transfer value out of every squad in the Euros, and by a mile. Like, it's not even close.
Well, because you want I talk.
And they come out and they finish first of a group with Belgium.
Yeah.
And Ukraine, I guess we can.
Well,
say.
Well, I talked about star power in this tournament, and maybe I'm a casual, but boys, you want to tell me who's their star?
Stanchu.
Dennis Mann?
No. But like actually, like who's their? You know what I mean?
I know.
Yeah. It's no, like I see your point here. I was just trying to, you know. Yeah.
I know you're trying to make me look stupid. Yeah. Like you guys always fucking.
Yeah, obviously, as I do.
But yeah, I mean, hey, good for them, dude. What a
good
story.
For them. Good for them.
I like that. The knockoff Komen guy, he's good.
The what?
The who?
Is his name Komen?
Just another guy named Komen?
I think so. Maybe I'm wrong. Hold on, let me check.
I thought you said it like...
Than Romanian players than me, brother. I don't know.
I thought you meant it like he looked like Kingsley Komen.
Yeah. No, his name is Florinel Komen.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean,
I thought you like there was like a Kingsley Coman lookalike.
No. His last name's just Coman in it. But
yeah. I said this in a TikTok, but like the thing with that fucking Ukraine game is haunting me, bro. No matter how much research and effort you put into picking an underdog, doing sciences, analyzing players that you've never like heard of before. Like finding a dark horse, doing the sweet science and everything, and being so confident, some random Romanian can just pull up from 30 yards and score a few bangers, and you're cooked. Like, man, I'm so disappointed, man. Ukraine let me down.
Let's give credit to Romania, though. Solid team. Work against the Netherlands. I'm excited to see that game.
Yeah, that is true.
Finals charge, maybe?
Let's talk Slovenia.
Benjamin Sesko, you are a disappointment to humanity.
He's been good, man.
Like, he's not kidding. He's looked decent.
He just didn't.
I guess we're all expecting him to score goals on goals. I guess
that's a thing. Yeah,
but yeah, no. He's been okay.
I think
yeah.
he attracts so much great, gravity but... in attack that kind of opens up the rest of his teammates to actually do something.
Yeah, Ivan Trans. What do you know about him?
Yeah, man.
Sorry, he's Czech. He's Czech. Yeah, never mind.
See, they're weird too, though. Like
doing it again.
They scored. They scored only two goals in the tournament. I mean, they only conceded two. They're so hard to judge.
Really hard to judge. Now they play Portugal.
And I guess, yeah, like for make.
Regatta
I mean, no
England
one had
is cool. I would give them a B. Because they've made it out the group.
I think B is fair.
That's fair.
Yeah, man. I'm going to give him a B.
And you're unlucky against Serbia, who scored.
But not least.
In the last minute.
Le Français.
That was the last team? We did every single team?
Yep. We'll save France for last here.
Wow. Thanks, man.
What do we save for France?
Leave the pain for last.
Hey,
I don't want to say I called this, but... Go back to the last episode. I said I see a world in which France doesn't perform very good in the group stages and finishes second of the group. I think that's what I said. But okay, France is very difficult because we need to. There's two sides of the pitch. There's the attacking side and the defensive side. Defensive side, I think there's nothing to say about it. We conceded one goal. It was a penalty. Maybe it shouldn't have been a penalty. We look very, very good defensively. Koundé's having an incredible Euros. Saliba's having an insane Euros. Upamecano, he's there. He's not having impeccable Euros, but he's doing the job.
And my name looks
cool. Teo Hernandez is doing good. Midfield-wise, I think we found our trio. I think it should be Rabiot, Kante, Griezmann, even though Griezmann's not having a stellar Euros.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the front three. It's the front three that we've been trying to make out for the past three games. We can't get the front three down. What I think it should be, after seeing the last game, I think Barcola needs to start. And I'm not even saying this because it's PSG bias.
Wow.
Dude, the difference he made on the left side, combining with Mbappe, combining with Teo Hernandez, the dribbles completed. Obviously, it's not the best right back in the world. It's Frankowski. He knows. He's played him before in Lens. He knows how he plays, but Barcola brings that a little bit of electricity that you wouldn't see in a Thuram or in a Giroud if Mbappe goes left. Giroud has also been disappointed, respectfully. I think it's just the age thing.
But what do we expect?
We can't really expect anything big from him anymore.
Yeah, don't disrespect my boy. He's trying his best.
You can't disrespect him, but it just shows how important he was to the French squad now that he's not doing the job that he's supposed to do. Granted, literally, he's not starting, but when he's had opportunities after he's come off the bench, dude, he's scuffing shots, he's hitting them wide, he's missing the ball. Well,
that's a thing now. Like, even when y'all won the World Cup, he didn't even score.
Yeah, he didn't
score. He didn't score a single goal, and he started every game.
It's the play that he provides. Exactly. It's the passing. He's a real playmaker.
So when those aspects of his game go down and you really want him to rely on his finishing, he doesn't have that in him. He's not like that.
He doesn't have that in him. And then the right wing spot is even more complicated, I'd say, because Dembele's a fraud.
Thank you. Yeah.
There's no other word for it.
Wow.
He can drive down the byline and get you a penalty, just like he can cut in on his left foot and sky the ball to row Z. It's so inconsistent. But then Coman is off of an injury, and he doesn't provide much, like, anything different. It's stale. He can whip a cross in, but then again, you have Giroud who can't finish his meals. It's a little bit tricky on the right. So that's what has been stopping us from scoring goals. The front three have, and the thing is, we've had opportunities too. That's the one thing. I'd rather have opportunities and miss them than have no opportunities. Like, we know how to create chances. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, England, they're not really creating chances. Mm-mm. They're in a much worse position than us. At least we're creating the chances. I think we accumulated something like a 5xG. I mean,
your best player also has a broken nose. That probably affects things just a little bit.
I think that's his fault, but because he was not getting that ball, or like he was not touching that ball, even if he gets his head on it. But yeah, I think we accumulated a total XG in the three games higher than what Spain did. So I'm a little bit optimistic in terms of that, because we're at least creating the chances. It's just we can't fucking finish them.
That's good. It's just the finishing, isn't it?
Yeah. So against Belgium, I'm worried, obviously. I'm worried that the game is going to go to extra time, because both teams can't fucking score a goal.
I know.
But group stage wise, I'm giving them a C.
Yeah,
my boys are disappointing me, man.
Probably agree, man.
I can't say I'm having a ton of fun watching them either.
But I'm pretty confident you guys will make it click.
No, absolutely. I think our team is tailored for round of 16 games. A little bit how I was talking about with England. The game opens up and all that. Dude, Austria was parking it. The Netherlands were parking it. Poland was parking it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. What can we do? Belgium's not going to be parking it. And I think how your team's set up, especially with that front three, you'd be best on the break, and you're going to have chances on the break against Belgium. And honestly, hey, you'd have a pretty tough run to the final. But again, then you'll have those opportunities to break against good teams. So, hey.
You have to play the best teams. You have to beat the best teams in the world in order to win the competition.
I'm still feeling good about you guys, but I would agree with C.
Yeah, I think C is fair.
Fair.
Leaning B, but C is...
All right.
C is good.
Well, that finishes it then. We got Spain, Germany, Austria, Georgia, Romania in A, Switzerland, Portugal, Slovakia, Turkey, and Slovenia in B, Belgium, England, Denmark, Italy, Albania, Netherlands, and France in C, Croatia, Czech Republic, Hungary, and Ukraine in D, and the three failures are Scotland, Serbia, and the Poles. Big up. Move to Canada now. In terms of grade, it'd be pretty freaking high for Canada. But Copa America is getting to the back end of their group stage. Canada has 3 points with one loss and one win. Their last game is Saturday against Chile. And Blake, how do we feel about it?
So, there's a couple things to unpack here. The fact that we weren't more dominant against Peru is slightly concerning. Obviously, the red card helped give us more of the ball.
There's a rant there.
We were kind of getting...
Well, yeah, there should have been two reds. Should have might have
But anyway, that's not what we're talking about here.
I would argue we even played a little bit better against Argentina than we did against Peru. I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. Max Crepeau is like the savior. He might be like, I don't know, the way he's playing, he might be the best keeper in Copa America. And that sounds crazy to say, Antoine, but like he's actually playing like insane.
Well, move to the Premier League soon or what?
He's 29, so
like a backup Brighton keeper. I see it.
Yeah, he might, bro. And I saw a stat, actually, or a Twitter thread or something. It was like, if all the rumors are true for everyone to go to the teams that they're rumored to, everyone's on, like, a pretty big European club. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm sure a bunch of people probably aren't going to get minutes. But, like, Ismail Kone just went to Marseille. I don't know if y'all saw that.
Big up, Antoine.
But
fuck you.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, I hope we get some minutes. That's all I really care about. But, yeah, I mean, Jonathan David did the thing that he's been asked to do for the longest time and just has never done. And he scored a goal, a huge goal, when it mattered for his country. And it all started from, first goal, first win, first everything. Started from a Kyle Larin bodying the defender, playing a beautiful pass to Jacob Schaffelberg, who I've...
Fantastic.
Like, man, I'm so mad TFC let him go. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking, but... what a player. He's so underrated. He's just so fast. Like, his pace is something that a lot of players just don't know how to deal with. And the games are pretty open in the Copa America. I don't know what it is, but they're not as like structured as they are at the Euros. I don't know why, but they're just not. I mean, the football is just not as good, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I think we should get a draw against Chile. I think it's all up to how Jesse it's all up to how Jesse like sets up the game and how he sets the game plan up. And that's what it really comes down to, because there's a world where Fonzie plays left wing. I don't think that's the right play today, obviously, but I don't know. I think it's all up to Jesse and how he wants to set up his team, and maybe Oso starts instead of Kone for more of a defensive side. I don't know.
But we trust them, which we can't always say. We trust them. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you guys are playing some really good football. Genuinely, it's enjoyable to watch Canada play. It's not negative. Yeah. It's like a breath of fresh air almost.
Yeah.
I was watching the friendly, and even though, Blake, you say friendlies don't matter, I think it's a little bit of a good indicator as to how teams are preparing for big tournaments. Canada, although they conceded 4 against the Netherlands, they drew against France without conceding. They played a good game. I like the way they play. And against Argentina, some could say they got unlucky. So,
yeah, man.
Yeah, and fucking Oluisu should have, or I don't even know how to say his name. He should have had a goal as well. So, I think it's always been the problem for Canada's goal scoring. We get our chances, but we don't put them away. Well, always is crazy, but the last two tournaments, it's kind of seemed like that. We had a chance against Argentina. We had a chance against Belgium. We had chances in the game against Peru, and we didn't put them away until we did. So I think for us, it's literally just about being clinical and seizing those opportunities and limiting the amount that Crepeau has to do, because Bombido and Cornelius have been promising. But we can't always rely on the 29-year-old keeper who's never played a minute of European football in his life to carry us. And that's only going to get us so far. So, like you said, we have, Venezuela or Ecuador in the round of 16. If we do finish in second, promising. So we just got to hope that, that game against Chile goes our way. And we go from there.
Yeah. I mean, one of the concerns I've had with Canada is we tend to do well. It's kind of like the World Cup. We always do well when we have nothing to lose. When we're playing against a big team and like we can string some passes together. But the second you put any kind of pressure on this Canada team, I feel like they kind of like capitulate. I don't know if it's a mental thing. I don't know what it is. Maybe we haven't been coached well or nothing. But especially that like how we did against Croatia and Morocco at the last World Cup. I know they did very well afterwards, but like that disappointed me. How we took a step down against Peru in our second game. How do we play so much better against the world champions than we do against freaking Peru? I don't understand. How we choked and kind of had to go through the playoff run to even make to the Copa America. But regardless, that kind of worries me heading into a pressure cooker against Chile. Quite literally a pressure cooker, because it's going to be like hotter than the last game. You know, it's going to be hotter against Chile than it was against fucking Peru. Somebody fainted at the Peru game. Like, it's insane. A linesman fainted.
Oh, I think I saw that.
Yeah, he had heat stroke.
And yeah, Max Crippo went to save him, my boy.
Got a 4-3-3 feature for that.
Give him the Simon Kjær door.
Bro, that's a top three Ballon d'Or ranking, man. He's got a lockdown now.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I'm low-key nervous for the Chile game. I'm going to be up the cottage with the family watching that one, so that'll be interesting. But yeah, big up Canada, man. They're doing me proud. Yeah. Other news. Absolutely. Other news in Copa America. In Group B, Venezuela has got 6 points. They're the only team to go 2-for-2 in Group B as it stands right now. It looks like they're going to win their group. Their next game against Jamaica, who hasn't got a point. So, yeah.
Jamaica.
Fuck. So it looks like Venezuela if we go through. Let me see who's on this Venezuela team, man. Oh, my God. Salomon Rondon. Fuck, dude. And jeez, nobody else I recognize. That is crazy.
How is... There's no way that Crippo is not in the team of the week on FOTMOG for the Copa America. It's Julio Gonzalez. Who the fuck are you? Get out.
Brazil drawing against Costa Rica. That's something. USA losing today against Panama.
Yeah, so hilarious. Timothy Weah is a fucking idiot. And Pulisic looks good. And Uruguay look freaking crazy.
Shout out my boy, Marcelo Bielsa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're going to say Ugarte.
And Ugarte, like, yeah. Although I think he's leaving the club now, but...
Why?
Enrique doesn't like him.
He's linked to United, eh? Mm. That'd be like, funny.
I think so, yeah.
That'd be really funny, man.
See, that gets me excited, bro. Club football, like, I want it back so bad, bro.
Let's enjoy the international break while we have it, please.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Jesus, man.
Is it crazy to say I would rather watch, like, I'd rather watch...
Don't say... would you rather watch Brentford-Burnley or Romania-Slovakia?
Brentford-Burnley, absolutely.
No. Yeah. I don't think I would.
Yeah. Like, I'd rather watch like City, Liverpool than I would like France, England. Like,
what?
Brentford, Burnley is tactic driven. Romania, Slovakia is pure vibes. Do you know what I mean? The premise.
You'd rather watch the AI ball of Man City, Liverpool over France, England? Seriously?
I think so.
God, Blake, man.
I think so.
Why couldn't you be freaking from a better country? And then you'd actually like understand this. Just like adopt your French a little bit more. Like, Jesus, man.
Yeah. Refine it a little bit.
I want to see if technically I could play for the national
team. Take a DNA test.
With what's going on like, right now in France, brother. You are getting kicked out of that country real fast.
Wait, why?
Let's not get too political.
What's going on,
bro?
I'm like white passing though.
The racist party is like gonna win the far right election.
Kind of taking over.
Yes. Yeah. So is like, that's like how America's been the last 6 years. Like,
there's cool. So many black people in France. There's so many. Are we gonna go back to like '90s France?
No Conte, no Tchouameni, no Mbappe.
No.
We're cooked.
Oh no.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. Guys, hold on. No way. No,
Blake just pulled up ancestry.com.
No, FIFA eligibility rules. Shall be able to play for the new representative team only if he fulfills one of the following conditions. A, he was born on the territory of the relevant association. His biological mother or biological father was born in the territory of the relevant association. Or C, his grandmother or grandfather was born on the territory of the relevant association.
Was your grandpa or grandma born in France?
Yep. No way. My grandmother was.
No way.
My Polish grandmother. My Polish grandmother.
I love you.
Attaboy.
Allez le bleu! Damn, okay. Yeah, you know what? Maybe I'm French.
Yes,
you
know? Yes.
July 5th, France, Portugal, we will be there.
That's crazy. My kids won't be.
Oh, but I'm just.
My kids won't be eligible to play for Portugal, man.
Won't be?
They won't be. My parents are born here. Damn, man.
Oh, my God.
No, I think that's fine, though. Or wait, maybe not.
Fuck it, bro. No, fly to Portugal.
Their grandparents would
fly to Portugal.
So unless my wife is Portuguese, but that's not the plan right now.
No, but listen, this is the play. You fly to Portugal during the pregnancy, stay there for a couple weeks, a couple months. Fuck it, 8-9 months. What's 8-9 months? Yeah. Anyway? Like, we're good.
And then yeah, kids we can born plan in Portugal. That out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I can't wait to make my debut for the French national team.
Can't wait to see you, brother. I heard you're conceding a lot of goals. I heard 5 goals is the minimum that you concede in a game.
All I'm saying is my buddy Tanner, shout out Tanner, dude. He played rep. He's a baller, dude. He's a baller. He played rep. He's on our team. He's like one of our best players. One of the players that doesn't suck. He was like, yeah, dude, you could have played like D1 or like D3 or something. And I was like, he said something really nice to me. I was like, no way. He's like, yeah, if you were taller, like, bro, you probably, even still not, you could have. I was like, you know what? I appreciate that.
From a rep player? I don't know. Rep is not. Not playing.
Yo, like,
I don't know. You got OPDL, I went higher than rep, to be honest with you, but
yeah,
hey,
yo, Jew, you can barely run anymore. Shut the fuck up.
Hey, bro, listen. Back in the day, bro, don't get me started on my soccer stories.
Guy kicks
prime Bencourt.
Guy kicks one ball and starts feeling in his knee, bro.
You know he's telling his kids he could have gone pro. It was just a knee injury.
Yeah. Yours is a knee injury. Mine's a height thing.
Bro.
Antoine just didn't want to do it. So that's
when I have my why didn't make it in football conversation with my kids, oh, man. Generational conversation, that.
The forges of personality in the kid, I feel like.
Oh, it's going
to
be great.
No, I think it has to be a sit-down conversation for sure.
I actually looked, you know, this is a little off topic. I saw, like, some scientist on my TikTok talking about, like, the 3 healthiest parts of the body that are most linked to the longest living people, and it's like a healthy heart, a healthy brain, and strong thigh muscles. I'm like, fuck. I'm cooked because apparently
you don't have good thigh muscles,
like,
bro?
You need like healthy legs, like you need to, like, so when you get to like 50 60 70 to go out and socialize, you can't be like a little, you know, bedridden for 20 fucking years. That's gonna happen.
Oh, I'm chilling then, bro. My legs
are, I'm cooked, my legs, dude. I'm cooked. Legs are, you know how many times, dude, when I was at the end of my career, I went to see when I was at the end of my career at 14 years old, I went to see a physiotherapist. And then he does some stretches for me. He like does like the basic procedures, and we do some tests. And then, you know that Obama meme where he's on his desk with like the palms right here, and he's got his legs crossed and he's looking down like, in my 30-year career, I've never seen legs this bad at this age. I'm like, man.
Why would you say that?
He genuinely told me that.
Crazy.
And he says like, oh, you could, he's like, we need to do something about this or you could forget about it. I'm like, Jesus.
Damn.
You got amputated.
But he was just glazing, so, bro. But he was glazing.
It was never officially the injuries that done me, but I think if I gave it a few more years, I would have been cooked. Put it that way.
Jew is like the epitome of that TikTok going, yo, man, like, I would have made pro if my knee just held up, bro.
I was actually shit, too. You know what my player comp was? Under Herrera. That was my player comp. Yeah. I was.
Yeah, brother. We're not. We're not on the highest of highs here.
Yeah, because back then he was actually a decent little player. I was proud of that guy. One. Yeah. Anyways, man.
See, guys, I want club football back, bro.
This has nothing to do with, like, what?
No, because he's not. Because he's not a Spanish legend, but he is a PSG.
He's just not a PSG legend. I said that for
him. Bro, football is so clear. It's not even close.
It's not close. And Euros footy is so clear. It's insane.
No, but it's not. Because you watch your club team for 10 months. 10 whole months. And you're telling me and the it gets team a little bit stale every two fucking years?
Yeah.
No, you're
dude,
telling
it's your country.
It gets stale when you suck. It gets stale because you're... Nah, bro. I don't care. I would take an Arsenal treble this season and to never see any of my Europe, to never see any of my countries
ever
do anything.
But you're biased, bro. You don't give a shit about
Poland. You would take an Arsenal Champions League win over a Poland World Cup win?
You don't...
Oh, my God, absolutely.
Get the fuck out of here right now.
Oh, wait, hold on. Over a Poland?
Yeah.
Give it Canada. Ooh.
The fact that you're even debating this
That's
is
what I'm
crazy
saying,
to me.
Bro. Like,
okay, Canada World Cup win over.
Yeah, I would fucking hope so, Blake.
Like, Jesus.
But guys, like,
no, bro, you're just biased.
But it's like the same thing with everyone being like, oh, you're not Canadian if you don't want Connor McDavid to win the cup. No, because I'm a Canadian hockey fan, but I'm not a fucking Oilers fan. So why for like a team that I've hated my whole life and the whole year, I'm going to cheer for them now. No, it doesn't work like
but
that.
That's completely different, bro. That's complete.
No, I'm just saying like.
Fucking like United fans aren't gonna be cheering for Liverpool in the Champions League final. You know what I mean? Like that's not how that works. But when it's England,
club football
when
is
it's
just
Canada,
so clear, bro.
When Canada hockey is happening and Connor McDavid is playing for Canada, I bet you're cheering for Connor McDavid. Cause,
well, yeah,
well,
obviously.
There you go.
But nah, like club football is just so clear, bro.
It's clear so for clear. You because your country suck and your team is good. It's that simple. But deep down, I know deep down, if they're on the same level, then you would be country over club. Everybody is.
I don't know. Not everyone.
Not everyone. Blake, there's not one man that it isn't delusional that takes club over country.
Bro, guys, like, I don't know. I feel like you're not
bro,
seeing
bro, there's no songs being made about
teams. Let's look at it from
that,
my perspective, too. Antoine sees his team win every fucking year. Of course he doesn't give a shit about them. And your team sucks dick, so of course you don't give a shit about them
either.
Okay,
but England fans care more about, like, most England fans care more about England than they do about their club.
You wanna, shall I go to my Arsenal fan page?
Oh, my God.
And, should I? I go on
Arsenal. Maybe
on
it's just an Arsenal thing. Maybe it's just an Arsenal thing.
All I'm saying is everyone's saying Ben White was right, and they know, and we want club football back. I saw a post. It was like, "Give me club football back, bro." Ben White was right. I don't need this anymore. And I was like, you know what? I agree.
And
with
what's
you.
Crazy is that,
like,
you were saying the exact same thing during the World Cup, which is
that's fucking insane,
at
bro.
This stage of the World Cup, you were saying the exact same thing.
France versus Argentina. You want a club football back? Get the fuck out of here.
Okay, so obviously I'd rather watch like a World Cup final over a Champions League final.
Okay.
Of course. That one's like, that's a given. Of course. But like, I don't know though. Like, I might want an Arsenal Champions League more than I want a Canada World Cup. Like, I don't know, guys. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, you guys... I watch this team. You watch your teams every day, week in, week out. And we forget about our national teams for months on end. How am I supposed to just be so much more connected than
country.
The teams that I...
It's a country. It represents
the team that I have... The team that I have 20,000 jerseys from. The team that I listen to podcasts about. The team that I yell and scream about on a podcast. Like,
You're not from Arsenal, bro. Blake, Arsenal don't care about you.
But I am, though. But I am. I am.
Arsenal don't know you like that,
bro. How'd you start supporting Arsenal again?
Oh, yeah. How did you start supporting Arsenal again? That's a great point, Antoine.
What's the story? Well, I always like Robin Van Persie, but they were like the first team under the Premier League thing on FIFA. FIFA 09 or something.
And how would you start supporting a country? By being born there or by having family there, which is a much more valid reason than FIFA.
Yeah.
Okay, but Oh, I'd rather a Leafs Cup than a Canada World Cup. Absolutely. But absolutely. No. Absolutely. That one's
we're wrapping this up. We're wrapping this up.
Insane, bro.
That one's not even close.
Like, you're like the only one that's so passionate about this, Blake. Like, nobody else makes this argument.
No, but that one, like, if you found a football, if I asked my boy Jack, he'd probably say the same thing. Like, you guys aren't Leaf fans. Like, I'm a Leaf fan. Oh, like, you don't understand. You no.
If Jack says so, then
no. You have no idea. You have no idea.
You have no idea. Like, you have no idea. Either.
No. You have no idea. As a Leaf fan, you have no idea what I've been
through. This isn't hockey. This is not hockey. This is the real football podcast. We're not talking about the fucking Leafs. Holy shit,
bro! That should be the opening.
Jesus Christ, man! Like, fuck. Every week.
All I'm saying, international footy is not what it seems to be. But anyway.
My boy Jack would think otherwise. Fuck.
Bro,
is Jack a hockey fan?
Yeah, but he's a United fan too, so he's stupid.
That's why Joe Bowen can't commentate the Leafs anymore.
Hey, don't you dare talk about Joe Bowen. Don't you dare talk about
him. You know how I made that reference? I watched back our old TikToks, and there's a Joe Bowen reference in there. Wow.
Yeah, really?
One of our first TikToks.
That's such a.
It was about when we talked about weird ass connection. Samuel Eto'o making his World Cup predictions.
Yeah.
And he thought Cameroon would like make the final, and you said something like, "This is why we can't have homers. Like, this is why Joe Bowen can't commentate the Leafs anymore because he's such a homer."
Yeah.
Shout out Bonesy.
I love him though.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that video did shit. That's probably why.
Yeah, isn't that one of our first videos?
Yeah, it was one of our first. We were learning the ropes. It's okay.
Yeah,
man. But Blake, that's such a I can't excuse that take though. And it's every single day this guy is on that. Every nil Euros game.
At least I don't flip flop. Like, at least I'm not like. I'm not a wavy paper wind and the paper
in the wind. I believe like, I stand firm to my take. That's what makes it even sadder, bro.
Nah, bro. Hey, when Arsenal's lifting the Champions League and Poland is like getting fucking dominated by this new France, I guess. Like, I don't know.
They
get colonized by France, like, shit. I'll be happy that I chose Arsenal over them.
So
hey, then you'll be 100% French.
So is Macron being voted out, or what's happening, Antoine?
Huh?
Is Macron being voted out?
Oh, we're getting into this political chat on the footy podcast. No, basically, he's reassembling his parliament, and
reassembling
the far right is going to win, pretty much.
Shit, man. Man.
Like, I could be in trouble because of this. So, like, I could lose an like I might like yeah it could be fucked. Like, if I go back to if I go back to France, like, I don't think I could be able to work over there or something like that.
Wait,
like,
what?
That's crazy. It's that bad. Like, they don't fuck with, like, people, like, binational, like, people with two nationalities. It's like, if you're French, you're strictly French. I know, right. It's crazy.
So it's fucking, it's North Korea. Nice.
Paul Pogba gets unlucky again. What a shame.
Hey, Pogba said he was dead, so. He might be
that's really sad, man. I was watching old Pogba highlights from the last Euros today. What a player.
That Switzerland goal had me so happy. And then 45 minutes later, yeah. I was in my bed crying.
Yeah, man. Anyways, weird turn this podcast has taken. I mean, we're at 135, and we said we'd make predictions, but I think we've kind of gone a little too far anyways.
We can say that if y'all want to pod during while I'm away, you guys can make your prediction. I can send in like a little voice note. You can call me again, maybe.
Yeah.
What are you doing in Florida?
FaceTime me.
I'd be down for
during
that.
A time. Just the normal stuff: hanging out, tanning, going to one Disney park.
So normal.
Love that.
Maybe.
So normal.
Love that.
No. Probably not. Yeah, but we'll see.
The privilege was radiating off that answer. That's so crazy.
How?
You know, just
how?
The usual, you know, entertaining. It'll be fun. Spending.
It'll be fun. I'll be watching the
go
game.
Go to
the
beach
game.
House.
Yeah, we got the beach house. You know, we're going to a few theme parks. Like, we'll just drop four figures a day over in the Disney.
Bro, I'm going to one theme park, bro. And that's it.
Just renting it out for the day. You know, nothing too crazy.
Do you get fast pass?
No, I do. I'm going to watch the Canada game.
Oh my god. So,
okay, but no. Okay. Listen to me. Okay, we're doing this now. Listen to me. So, with Universal Studios, the lines are really, really long. So, here, but my thing is, I go there once a year. Why would I not pay the extra $1 million just to have the best experience of my life?
It's only $1 million.
How much is the Fast Pass?
A lot. But for Disney, it's different. At Disney is different. The tickets are also like really expensive, but. You only get like 3 fast passes per day, so it's only like, I think it's only like $20, and you get 3 fast passes, so it's not terrible. So Disney kind of does it right in that sense. So shout out to Disney, I love them, I do.
Should we expect an Instagram post?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Another TikTok?
Absolutely. Because, like, you're low-key back.
That's now. A low blow. That's a
Why
low
is that a
blow.
Low blow? You posted recently on there.
Oh, like an, oh, another TikTok. Like, oh, I thought you would, like, make
what
fun
was
of
I thinking?
Oh,
no,
yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. Maybe. But I like doing TikToks with Ireland. She won't be there, so I don't know.
Well, day in the life. I wouldn't mind that.
Maybe.
Man, the Latina fans are begging.
Hey man,
don't understand that comment section, but I know it's looking good for Blake. Whenever Blake needs reassurance, just open up your comment section. You're chilling.
If only it was that easy, boys.
I love how the one thing that brought Blake back to TikTok after 3 years was his hate for Drake.
Like, yo,
this guy is generational hater.
Hate Drake, bro.
Oh yes, you do. You can admit it, bro.
I don't hate Drake. I listen to Drake all the time.
Yeah, you hate listen all the time.
No, I like
Drake. Ever since I met you, you've been on that hate train.
I like Drake. I like Drake more than I like international football, if I'm honest with you. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But
what a weird turn this is taking.
Yeah, a very weird turn this is taking. Anyways, I was about to bring up the presidential debate today. Speaking of politics, but we're just going to end this.
I think
we're just going to end this.
We should probably cut
it. You know, it's getting late when Julian's bringing up politics at 1
Bro, no. Like, but it's like entertaining politics. They're talking about their golf handicaps and everything. Like, it's so funny.
Bro, that shit, nah. For real, though, like, what? That, you want to talk about brain rot? That's what that is.
Well, that's literally, they are 80 years old. Like, they are disintegrating in front of our eyes, bro. But yeah, no, that country's actually fucked. Not France levels, but fucked. Anyways, this has been the Real Politics Podcast, guys. This would have been a Miles episode.
This would have been a Miles episode, dude. This guy would have spat knowledge at us.
Oh my god.
Well, or
yeah, he would have talked so much. He would have talked.
Or there would have been that. So yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, boys. Predictions? No predictions. Like, we like. Can we just say, like, a winner prediction?
Nah.
A winner prediction?
Yeah, we can say a winner.
Blake. Right now, it looks like it's going to be Spain, so I'm going to stick with Spain.
Spain will win the Euros.
Spain will win the Euros.
I still think Germany beats them.
I'm sticking with my England and my Uruguays.
England could win, too. England, don't let the group stage fool you.
Lads, if we have Portugal win the Euros and Argentina win the Copa America... We could have.
Oh my god! Messing around don't the one do last. This Finalissima last. Bullshit.
Listen, that's one thing I hate on the Finalissima, the as much as the next guy, but the football world will care about it for one day.
What the tournament that got created because Messi?
Because for Messi PR, but this would be crazy PR if it was Messi v Ronaldo for the last time for their country for a trophy. That'd be nice.
No, don't do it to me. I don't want to see it.
It would be though.
I probably wouldn't watch that game, in all fairness.
Oh my god. You might as well be with Blake and bring back Buffalo.
Also, Portugal is just not winning Euros.
That's
so
ridiculous.
Yes.
No, I would still have France winning. Maybe Germany is my pick now. I don't know.
Like, would you rather Portugal win the Euros this year or United win the Champions League next
Portugal
year?
Portugal win the Euros.
Blake tried to sell it. United winning the Champions League.
I was like, wait, they're not even in the Champions League, right?
United win the Europa League. Yeah, Portugal all day.
It just rolls off the tongue nice.
I don't know. The high I would ride from... sorry, Austin.
All right. Okay, boys. This has been a good episode. Listen, I don't know how much our listeners like would we go off the rails a little bit. They've probably checked out about half an hour ago. But I quite enjoy these ones where we kind of go off script for a little bit. Anywho. But this has been a good episode, boys. I really enjoy this. We are really pushing the time on these episodes, which you wouldn't think with only three guys. But I really enjoyed it, boys. I hope you've had an amazing time watching the Euro so far. Savor it, because we're almost through with it.
Thank God.
Okay. Jesus Christ, man. And Blake, hey, we're one day closer to club football, all right? I'll give you that.
Come on, we're winning the fucking league this year.
Everybody, this has been episode 54 of the Real Football Podcast. We want to thank you again for listening, especially if you've made it this far, you trooper. We will catch you all next week with maybe some knockout reactions, predictions, all of the in-between, and we'll be reviewing Canada when they make the semifinals of the Copa America. With that being said, Blake, take us away. See you, everybody.